Blog Talk Radio.
Can you picture my prophecy? Stress in the city, the cops are top of me. A prodigy full of bullets, nobody's just dropping. There ain't no stopping me. Constantly moving while making millions. Witnessing killers, leaving dead bodies in the band of buildings. Carries the children because they're illin'. Addicted to killing and the appeal from the cap villain. Without feeling, but will they last or be blasted? Hard headed bastard. Maybe you're listening in this casket. The aftermath. More bodies being buried. I'm losing my homies in a hurry. They relocate into the cemetery. Got me worried. Stressing my business, blurry. The question. Is will I live? No one in the world loves me. I'm headed for danger. Don't touch strangers. Put one in the chamber whenever I'm feeling this anger. Don't want to make excuses, cause this is how it is. What's the use unless we're shooting? No one notices the you. It's just me against the world, baby. This is me against the world. This is me against the world. I got nothing to lose. This is me against the world, baby. Cause I'm the one y'all need to be worried about. Partner. With all this extra stressing, the question I wonder is after death, after my last breath, when will I finally get to rest through this suppression? They punish the people that's asking questions and those that possess. Still from the ones without possessions, the message I stress. To make it stop, study your lessons, don't settle for less. Even the genius asks questions, be grateful for blessings. Don't ever change, keep your essence. The power is in the people and politics we address. Always do your best, don't let the pressure make you panic. And when you get stranded and things don't go the way you planned it, dreaming the riches, in a position to making a difference. Politicians are hypocrites, they don't wanna listen. If I'm insane, it's the fame, made a proper change. It wasn't nothing like the game, it's just me against the.
Now me love to see the school as them a graduate. I study hard and save the party for the holidays. Diplomatic with them diploma and them won't be great. Because them not pick up no matic and a perpetrate. And then I love the energies where them a generate. My generation is so special it will make a change. Because the yellow for the seed and it a germinate. So anytime them see the progress them a celebrate. Because we're rising up despite of the economy. And then now we are starting show like the astronomy. And now we keep on breaking through with an anomaly. Because we keep remaining true without apology. The mission of the carry to and finish properly. The Gambia to Guadeloupe, Paris to Napoli. The Zambia to Honolulu, back to Tripoli. And everybody wants a future living happily.
Generation subject to gentrification, depicting their frustrations over ill instrumentation. Cause music is the way to convey to you what I'm facing. Placing my life in front of your eye for your observation. Now if you can't relate, then maybe you are too complacent. Athletes today are scared to make Muhammad Ali statements. What's up with tomorrow? Will you lead? Will you follow? Improve your values. Education is real power. I reach them like Bono. So get rid of your self-sorrow. Add some bravado. Get wealthy like Wells Fargo. It's true that I am you and I am proof. Surviving through, we do what we gotta do. Yo, we can break the cycle, let nobody lie to you. Then maybe put our sons and our daughters in private school. Cause there's a mission we gotta finish before we leave. This generation is destined to do historic deeds.
Then that rain brings sun. Been a long time coming, I know change gon' come. Man, I gotta keep it moving to the beat of my drum. Last night I set the future at the feet of my son. But they thinking that my generation gotta die young. If we all come together, then they can't divide one. Don't worry about it, just be about it. Got a message from God, heaven too crowded. But I say, hey young world, you never look better. And I heard change start with the man in the mirror. This generation, I'ma represent. A generation led by a black president. Now how's that for change? Who knew that can change? I don't even look at the flag to say, hey, so when you finish reading Revelation, thank God for my generation.
My generation, I'm gonna make a change.
And welcome to tonight's show. You're listening to EIE, Save Our Children Blog Talk Radio. My name is Tony Nix. I'm your host, founder, and president of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children. We're on a half an hour earlier tonight. That's going to be our regular time, 7:30. So please make a note of it. Again, welcome to tonight's show. It's good to be back. This is our second show back on the air. Tonight is a topic that has been on my mind and quite a few other people's mind too. And tonight's topic, we're talking about who's fueling the new Jim Crow machine. As you know, or if you're unaware of, there is a new penal system called corporate corrections. They're setting up shop in states all across the nation, and they have become prisons for profits. People are investing in stock down on Wall Street in this prison system, and the new commodity to make this machine run is troubled black youth and young adults. That's what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about mass incarceration, the stock market, our black youth being used as a commodity to fuel the new Jim Crow machine. Our chat room is open. Feel free to leave your comments. They will be addressed as they come in. Also, our call-in number tonight is 424-258-9271. That's 424-258-9271. We're talking about who's fueling the new Jim Crow machine. Are African Americans unknowingly fueling the machine, not with a very naive view? That's what we're talking about tonight. You got to excuse my voice. I think I got a slight case of laryngitis. I don't know what it is. I think it's been these New York Knicks here in the city who's been giving me a heart attack. They lost this evening, but that's okay. That's only game one of the second round. We'll be back. I'm proud of my New York Knicks. If you're a New York Knicks fan, shout it out. I stand with them 100%. This is my team. I don't care what nobody says. I've been hearing all this Miami and all that. I'm from New York, and I represent mine, the New York Knicks. Go, New York, go. We're going to kick it off. In just a few minutes, I'm going to look at my phone lines, see who I got on the line, and we're going to come right back right after this short and brief message.
Hey, yeah, we're the same brothers from a long time ago. We was talking about television and doing it on the radio. What we did was to help our generation realize they got to get out there and get busy because it wasn't going to be televised. We got respect for young rappers and the way they're freewaying. But if you're going to be teaching folks things, be sure you know what you're saying. Older folks in our neighborhood got plenty of know-how. Remember, if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be out there now. And I ain't coming at you with no disrespect. All I'm saying is that you damn well got to be correct. Because if you're going to be speaking for a whole generation, and you know enough to try and handle their education, be sure you know the real deal about past situations, and ain't just repeating what you heard on a local TV station. Sometimes they tell lies and put them in a truthful disguise. But the truth is, that's why we said it wouldn't be televised. They don't know what to say to our young folks, but they know that you do. If they really knew the truth, why would they tell you? The first sign is peace. Tell all them gun-toting young brothers that the man is glad to see us out there killing one another. We raised too much hell when they were shooting us down, so they started poisoning our minds and trying to jerk us all around. And then they tell us they got to come in and control our situation. They want half of us on dope and the other half in incarceration. If the ones they want dead ain't killed by what they instigated, they can put some dope on the brother's body and claim it was drug-related. Tell them drug-related means there don't need to be no investigation, or at least that's the way they're gonna play it on the local TV station. All your 9mm brothers, give them something to think about. Tell them you heard that this is the new word. They got to work that stuff out. But somehow they're feeling the wrong way with a gun in their hands. They're feeling real independent, but they just pulling contracts with a man. 5 and 5 will tell you it's hopeless out there on the avenue, but if they really knew the truth, why would they tell you? And if they look at you like you're insane and they start calling you scarecrow and say you ain't got no brain, or start telling folks that you suddenly gone lame, or that white folks have finally co-opted your game, or worse yet, implying that you don't really know, that's the same thing they said about us a long time ago. Young rappers, one more suggestion before I get out of your way. But I appreciate the respect you give me and what you got to say. I'm saying protect your community and spread that respect around. Tell brothers and sisters they got to calm that bullshit down, because we're terrorizing our old folks and we brought fear into our homes, and they ain't got to hang out with the senior citizens. Just tell them, damn it, leave the old folks alone. And we know who ripping off the neighborhood. Tell them that BS has got to stop. Tell them you're sorry they can't handle it out there, but they got to take the crime off the block. And if they look at you like they think you're insane, or start calling you scarecrow thinking you ain't got no brain, or start telling folks that you suddenly gone lame, or that white folks have suddenly co-opted your game, or worse yet, saying that you really don't know, that's the same thing they said about me a long time ago. And if they tell folks that you finally lost your nerve, that's the same thing they said about us when we said Johannesburg. But I think you young folks need to know that things don't go both ways. You can't talk respect on every other song or just every other day. What I'm speaking on now is the raps about the women folks. On one song, she's your African queen, and on the next one, she's a joke. And you ain't said no words that I haven't heard, but that ain't no compliment. It only insults 8 people out of 10 and questions your intelligence. 4-letter words or 4-syllable words won't make you a poet. It will only magnify how shallow you are and let everybody know it. And if they look at you like they think you're insane, or they call you scarecrow thinking you ain't got no brain, or start telling folks that you suddenly gone lame, or that the white folks have finally co-opted your game, or you really don't know, they said that about me a long time ago. If they finally start telling people that you lost your nerve, that's what they said about Johannesburg. You ain't insane. You have got a brain. You haven't gone lame. You have got your game. Remember, keep the nerve. Keep the nerve. Keep the nerve. Keep the nerve. We're talking about peace.
You're listening to EIE, Save Our Children Blog Talk Radio. My name is Tony Nix. I'm your host, founder, and president of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children. Tonight we're talking about who's fueling the new Jim Crow machine, and why have African-American troubled youth and young adults become a big commodity on Wall Street for shareholders who are investing in corporate corrections across the nation. Corporate corrections is building prisons across the nation. They're using our troubled youth and young adults for cheap labor. They're giving them 93 cents a day. Is this one of the reasons why unemployment is so high for black males, that they intend to keep it that way by the new Jim Crow machine agenda? This is what we're talking about tonight. Our call-in number is 424-258-9271. Also, the chat room is open. Feel free to leave your comments. Please be aware of when you call in of background noise, such as dogs, cats, children's radio, TV, whatever. This is being taped, and I try to have a clear taping. Also, please try to watch your language when you call in. And if you disagree, it's okay to disagree. Just try not to be disagreeable. Again, we're talking about who's fueling the new Jim Crow machine. Because believe it or not, listeners, this thing is in effect. It's happening across the nation. And the main fuel is young African-Americans, troubled youth, and young adults. That's what we're talking about right now. I'm going to go to the phone lines. I'm going to take my first caller. He was a guest on my show last week. He's the founder and president of the Pops Movement. Please welcome Brother Hest. Good evening, Brother Hest. Are you there?
Greetings, brother. How you doing?
Great. Thanks for calling in.
Basically, you know, tonight's subject, I thought about it and I prayed on it, you know, and I continuously can continue to reach out to different feelings and the different waves that I see. You know, growing up inside of the inner city community, I see where there is a lack of funding and, you know, the children's lives and the ways of performing certain acts to bring about social conditioning so that they will not be antisocial. It seems like through the music, through the areas that we grow up in and the projects, it also seems like in the schools, you know, we're not being taught social skills. And then once we get inside of these prison walls, they're telling us that we're kept here far past our sentencing because of antisocial behavioral patterns. You know, it's kind of ironic that the only thing that they teach in social studies within the school system in the first 8 to 12 grades is things about the wars in the past, you understand, and the different conflicts that have happened with, you know, different social groups or banners or races and religions, you understand? And so, you know, these are the things that I'm seeing that are prevalent in what we're dealing with today, the lack of jobs. You know, when I got out of prison, the first thing that I picked up was a pack of crack and went back to the block. And before long, I was using the same medication. I wasn't using crack, but I was sniffing cocaine. And before long, I went back to the alcohol. There was a liquor store on almost every corner. You know, the churches didn't have or provide any kind of therapeutic values outside of we need some money, you understand? And so these are the things that I think that we must become concerned with, because there are no psychologists, there are no sociologists on these blocks. You know, there are no serious social workers that can actually, you know, find a foundation to build off with the kids. If you look at the parks right now within the inner city community, Mr. Nick, I mean, it's sad. I mean, the grass is growing tall. You know, there are crack pipes all over the sand. And, you know, the swings are filled with the different particles where you could tell that there was prostitution, you know, there the night before. And it is just crazy. And so, you know, I thank you for having this subject on tonight, because this is something that we really need to talk about, and this is something that we really need to get further into. And I'm definitely committed with you, big brother.
Well, thank you, my brother. You know, you are very, very supportive, and I really appreciate that. You know, what's happening to our troubled youth and young adults, you know, is a state of emergency, okay? Not only are they committing self-inflicted genocide, now, by their behaviors and attitudes, they're being used as fuel for a system that has no other use for them other than to use them. Either you're going to go to the graveyard or you're going to become part of the new Jim Crow machine. Okay? And there's a lot of factors. The rate of unemployment, I don't think that's by coincidence. Okay? Because that forces black males to choose either crime in order to survive. Okay? And, you know, the pressure is on. I mean, they do have a choice, but a lot are choosing crime. Okay? You got uneducated black males who come from dysfunctional backgrounds. You know, you got the gang members. Okay? These are all prime candidates. Okay? Are our children being primed in school? I believe so. Okay? And they start with the babies. Okay, they diagnosed them as ADHD, you know, which next thing you know, they're on meds, okay, and there's some serious side effects behind it, you know, which affect their thinking process, okay. Poverty also plays a big part, you know. Black males go into a lot of different hustles, you know, male prostitution, drug selling, okay? These youngsters don't have any fathers stepping up and giving them any structure, all right? You got women who are continuing to have babies with reckless abandonment, okay, and by several different men, all right? These are things that we're doing and that's helping fuel the new Jim Crow machine, okay? You got rappers on the radio, you know, spitting different raps, and our young youth and young adults thinking they're being schooled, but really they're being fooled, you know? They're separating us, you know, separation by frustration, okay? And this is done by design. This isn't, you know, some accident or anything of that nature, okay? We're falling right into it. Falling, and I think it's due to maybe lack of awareness, or we have become desensitized to our own conditions. I really can't put my finger on the one thing, but I believe all of this plays a part. Okay, because you know, now that the stock market, you know, we have become a commodity. You got shareholders, okay, that are investing in these prisons. These prisons are setting up in states, and they're going into these states saying, listen, you guarantee us a certain body count, we'll put a prison in your state. All right? Corporate America is making money off of troubled youth and young adults. How do we stop it? What do we do? You know, that's the question, because it's way over the top, okay? And it's in effect. And look at mass incarceration. That will tell you right there. All right, there's not enough social programs, okay? There's not enough of black family structure, okay? But there is plenty of prisons being built. Plenty of prisons being built. And they're being built because corporate America sees the fact that, you know what, instead of trying to help them, let's make money off this, okay? And the new Jim Crow machine has modernized slavery, okay? They're going to pay them 93 cents to do the jobs that they're not offering in society. We need to do something about that. But first, we got to bring our awareness level up, Brother Hess, because this is where we are coming up short, and this is where we're failing. And it's time to organize and recognize what's happening to us by some of the stuff we're volunteering for, some of the stuff we're very naive about, because we don't know, lack of knowledge. You know, we really need to educate ourselves on what's happening. And we got to stop being desensitized and become more sensitive to our conditions. Because if not, we're going to find ourselves in a corner that we can't get out of. And the only way we're going to get out of that corner is we're going to start preying on one another more than we already are today. Because that's part of the plan. But we need to do something. We need to do something right now. Right now. We have no time to waste. No one else is going to do it for us. Okay? This is the plan, and we need to wake up and address what is happening to us. We need to put our family structures back together. We need to stop making up all these different excuses we're coming up with, because these excuses is what is holding us back from change. Unity amongst us needs to be a priority, okay? We need to say enough is enough. Simple as that. Brother Hess, I got another caller on the line. I want to take this caller. I don't know the caller's name, but I'm going to say the first three numbers of the area code is 919. 696. Good evening, caller. How are you there? 919.
Hey, how you doing? This is Antonio.
Oh, brother Antonio Merrick, how are you this evening?
Yeah, I'm doing well. I'm sorry I'm late. I was out there in the yard slaving, doing getting the yard squared away and had to cook dinner, so I got on a little late. Apologize about that.
That's quite all right. Good to have you on. Welcome to tonight's discussion. So you know we're talking about who's fueling the new Jim Crow machine. I saw a couple
exactly.
of things you wrote the other night. You want to expound on that, please feel free.
Yeah, it's almost like I guess the black conservative movement, the black Republican movement, they kind of was like hinting on this stuff for the longest, for many, many years. And a lot of times, I know me, you know, I was basically raised to be a liberal, raised to be a Democrat, just everything in our entire media, everything, you know, we look at Radio 1, or listen to Radio 1, we look at TV 1, we look at BET. It's like when we're living in the world, meaning when we're partying, having a good time, we're looking at radio as Russ Parr, you know, things of that nature. That's Tom Joyner. Tom Joyner, I believe, once we become a little mature, then when we just get our life right, we listen to the gospel channel and BET. It's like we literally are conditioned to think and behave only one way. We only conditioned to think and have one worldview. Now, what happened is if you try to step out of that worldview and you try to, you know, probably like a different genre of music or like different ethnic groups, you know, or anything like that, then you start becoming ostracized. So it is my theory, and again, this is all rough and raw. I haven't done any research, but literally my entire life research, this is my whole life is about, is trying to understand that phenomena. But what keeps us so entrapped mentally when we have the opportunity to be free? It's almost like, you know, being on a plantation, if you would, and we're finally free, but we're afraid of freedom. You see, we're afraid to go out and to be different and to be ourselves and find our own identity. You see, it's like we're forced to fit the narrative of what I consider the black establishment. And it's like, if, you know, just like, you know, when you're growing up in the hood, you know, which I know probably you and I did, and many other callers on this phone grew up a lot of times in poverty. It's almost like, well, you know, if you didn't do this, you didn't do that, you soft. Or if you didn't do this and do that, you're a punk, you see. So a lot of us end up getting, you know, probably a criminal record and getting in trouble, breaking the law at a young age because it's almost like you had to do that to survive because you don't want to get picked on. You know, so, if, you know, even when it comes to, you know, you're being extremely sexually active, you know, it's like, okay, you can't say, well, hey, I don't want to have sex, you know, until I get married, because the people are going to call you names. You see, they're going to call you soft. They're going to call you sweet. And the word that you can't say anymore because, you know, liberal establishment will kill us. But those are the terms that they use, you know, you will be called those things. So it's like now you're forced to do this and you're forced to be someone that you're not even, you know, that's not who you are. And that's what happened. It's like when I look at the whole cycle of, the violence, you know, when it comes to the selling drugs, when it comes to all of that stuff, it's like at the very bottom you have the child. And if that child is being groomed by a small subculture within, you know, a society is being groomed, it's not literally the society as a whole. It's that black establishment is what really the one thing that you have to crack because that one child is being raised in the middle of all of that, you see. So everything that that child, mom, grandma, big mama, and everyone, everything that that child learned, he or she learns that information from big mama, learn that information from mom or probably dad or whatever the scenario is. They're getting that information from experience because we did, of course, we do some tragic things in this country as a people. And then now you got an entire media establishment that helped perpetuate and continue to tell us to, you know, hey, be skeptical of the white man, be skeptical of the government, and that the government owe us stuff and things of that nature where we're not really being taught to be self-sufficient, you know, because that's not the name of the game when it comes to the entire establishment. So, and again, like I said, it goes back to that kid. What does that kid learn? So none of this stuff makes sense because this kid is smart. Our children are smart, you know. So we're like, okay, we're trying to find ourselves. So what we end up doing is, you know, sometimes just go with the crowd, just go with the flow, because everything, it don't make sense. So this is my theory. That this entire new Jim Crow machine is essentially, literally, it's like the conduit that creates this thing is us. You know what I mean? When it comes to black establishment, I mean, that when it comes to the black community leaders, when it comes to even some of the nonprofit organizations that are formed to try to make a difference in black community, one of the main ones messing up the kids' minds. Because it's like, okay, on one note we're saying, you know, you can be all you can be. And on the second note, we're saying, okay, the white man this and the white man that. And it's almost like, okay, you might as well just let the kids, you know, it's all you're doing is getting grant money, basically. Because if you're not really teaching this kid can be anything, and that this kid, you know, needs to look at, okay, what do I need to do to take care of my community? Because there's no way in the world we will be able to solve the problems in our community if we're not able to correlate that, what's going on in black communities, with how it affects America overall. But if we only look at it from a black perspective, and we're not looking at, of course, how much, you know, the city got to pay so much money for police because of the fact that we're out there acting a fool. That money can go towards education.
Let me ask you, and so many different other things.
So,
hold on a second here. Let me ask you this. I'm reading something that you wrote the other night, and, you know, quote, this is what you wrote. You know, I'm going to stop beating around the bush. I think it is time for a coup de grace. It is time to peacefully and respectfully overthrow the entire black establishment because it is not effective anymore. The black establishment is led by the same opinion leaders and the same ideologies and worldviews that are ultimately responsible for destroying black Americans. Can you kind of expound on that a little bit, if you don't mind?
Well, when I hear it again, I guess towards the end when I say that are ultimately responsible for the destruction, well, basically the term I would like to use is help perpetuate. It's not ultimately responsible, because when you say ultimately responsible, you're literally saying that damn, basically Martin Luther King destroyed black America.
Well, no, I'm only reading what you wrote. You wrote that.
I know. When you reread it to me just now, I thought about it. In the context, it was like literally my wording was completely off, because I was wrong in the sense that I wasn't trying to say that it's 100%. You know, it's more so help perpetuate. That's what I typically say whenever I make that statement. I normally say help perpetuate it. Everything else is true from my theory, from my belief. But just that last part, because I say they're ultimately responsible, but not really ultimately responsible, but literally perpetuating it. So the way we are today, they're ultimately responsible for where we're going to go tomorrow. You feel me? But if you're talking about the same leaders, and that's why I threw that coup d'etat out, because military coup, essentially, like when you have like the Egyptian president was there for over 30 years. And it's like, you know, whenever you're in power for a very, very long time, you know, you can't get new ideas in. You can't change. So it's literally you're leading the people down the same direction, you see. And it's like when you literally leverage what we fought for in the past compared to contrast, and now it's totally different. In the past, it was like you had a document that stated that we had certain unalienable rights. However, state, local government, and even the federal government didn't even give us, contradicted the same document, you see. It's like certain Americans can have rights, but then these Americans don't have rights, based on the Jim Crow. So essentially, you had something extremely solid to fight for. I mean, it's literally, it's evident, it's right there. But then now once you accomplish that mission, now what? You know, we had affirmative action, you know, to allow, you know, African Americans to be able to go to get some education, and when it comes to employment and things of that nature, you see. So you had now you got a whole bunch of first black this, first black that. I mean, folks are making it, doing big things. But it's like now these organizations, and this is one thing I learned about working on K Street in Washington, D.C., it's like organizations have to figure out what's the next thing to keep the money coming in. It's not about the you know, it is about the people that they represent, but it's kind of not. I mean, you got to stay, especially when you're talking about the way our structure is now when it comes to a lot of these organizations. I mean, you look at National Action Network, things of that nature. It's like you got to find that next thing. So it's like you hook up with unions, and of course we were always with unions from the beginning. But you know that's something totally different. But you got to find new things and new themes so that you can bring in money. So you know, like when it comes to gay rights and things of that nature, you're trying to find the hot button themes that's going to bring in money. The Trayvon Martin was a cash cow to really help save the National Action Network, because they were in some serious debt, you see. But that helped them get them books right, their books right. You know?
Okay, well, let me ask you.
These folks, they need tragedy. They need discrimination. They need injustices to keep going. But in reality, we got kids in the communities that's suffering. And my brother, when he got on his last point I want to make on that, and this is what really got me fired up to start trying to make a difference. One brother got out of prison, and I was telling him, hey, what I'm working on, what I'm writing and stuff, to try to make a difference for African Americans and stuff, to try to get us squared away. And he said straight up, he said that this country, white folk, civil rights leaders, none of them can, and black church don't give a D about his black A. You see, and when he said that, and I thought he broke it down to me, and I just thought he was just talking all that old prison talk. You know, but when I was listening to him, I was like, he broke it all the way down. And he is right. Number one, as African Americans, because of the fact that we give all our votes to just one party, then that means the Democrats don't have to do nothing for us, nor do the Republicans have to do anything. Why should the Republicans, they ain't going to do anything if they're not going to get the vote anyway? Why would the Democrats waste doing something for this demographics when that demographic is going to vote anyway? It's all about trying to get the swing vote. When you're talking about the whole elections, everything is about the swing state. So literally, if you're talking about if the black vote was split up 50-50 in the middle, there is no way in the world we'll have one ghetto in America, period. You know what I'm saying?
All right, well, hold on, brother Antonio. Wait a minute. Okay, I'm listening to you, and what I'm hearing, part of what I'm hearing is you're saying that everybody has sold out. This is what I'm hearing.
Exactly.
Well, I have to disagree. Hold on. I have to disagree with that. I truly, truly have to disagree with that. I can attest to, yes, some have sold out, but as a whole, no.
No, I wouldn't say as a whole.
I can't agree with that.
I would have to break it down to what you mean by selling out. You see, because
according to what you're stating to me, and also, you know, I'm reviewing your statements here that you put on the event page that I put up, and one of the things you wrote here, you said we are selling our own children to the prison industry because those cats at the top are shot out. With, I don't know what that means. And then here it says, the government, politicians, the black church, and the crooked civil rights leaders don't give a damn about us. Okay?
Hold on.
Okay, yeah, that's the quote from your brother. Okay. All right, and here you have, in conclusion, black America has no real representation because black leaders sold their souls and devalue the potential influence of the black voter. It's like this. Most often we cannot see the real problem because it's too close for us to see it. Okay. You mentioned the National Action Network. You said they used the Trayvon Martin murder as a cash cow. How did they do that?
I won't say that that's their whole goal, which, again, because literally I have to be on the board to really know, but just working in on a K Street, when it comes to us, it's about association and representation. That's what it's all about. We live in a representative democracy. If I go to Congress, and this is what I'm breaking it down from just being a political scientist, someone who studied politics. If I want something from an elected official, if it's just me and you, and we go there saying that, okay, we need to stop the violence, the gun violence, they will listen to us because of what just happened down the road, you see, up there in Connecticut. Now, let's just say, for instance, that didn't happen, Shady Hook, and no, you know, violence, but it's just the violence in black communities. If it's just me and you coming, you know, then, you know, we probably get to an intern. An intern will probably talk to us. But if we say, okay, we are a member of this organization and we have this amount of members in your congressional district, okay, you might talk to the chief of staff. You might still don't get the congressman because the chief of staff still got to vet you first. But trust me, you're not going to be talking to an intern. You're going to talk to someone senior. And that's the way it was when I was in up there on Congress, lobbying Congress for veterans. Because of the fact I can say, hey, I belong to an organization that got 3 million members, you see, and it's the oldest veteran service organization in America, you know, I'm talking to the big dogs when I walk up in there. You see, and that's what it's about. So it's about representation. Now, the one thing I can honestly say is, and I do for the streets, for folks out there in the streets and stuff like that, you're right. The National Action Network, as well as the NAACP, I mean, they do represent folks when it comes to that regard. Because I'll never forget when I was a senior in high school back in 1996, basically it was low-income housing, and they kick out. They just go in there just trying to clean house. So basically all the houses where, you know, we used to hang out, even folks used to sell dope out of, literally the landlord, the new ownership, new landlord said, well, what we're going to do is just evict everyone for no reason. So basically I was the one that got the NAACP from Jacksonville, Florida. It was on local news down there in Jacksonville, Florida. I got NAACP involved because of the fact that it was, you know, it just so happened because everyone was black, you know, except for one person. You see, so I understand that these organizations do represent when it comes to injustice, and I understand that. However, the issue, the problems that we face in these communities are a lot bigger than that. You see, it's a lot bigger than that. You're literally talking about kids growing up believing and thinking that, you know what, like, I thought I was going to be dead at 21. Because that's what society was telling me. When I say society, it wasn't what white America was telling me. It was what my people was telling me. It was the black establishment, you know. It's literally when it comes to the music, our entire lifestyle, our mentality, our thought process, just being in that entire world. But then what happened is some of us, like you and I, we break out of that and we try to come back and make a difference. But when we do make a difference, we still try to do it in the same narrative, trying to keep it real to the people, black power. And coming from that perspective.
Hold that right there for a second. Brother Antonio, I don't mean to be rude and cut you off, but I truly believe we have to start with ourselves first. I'm a true believer of that, because these are our issues. This is not white folks' issues, Asians' issues. This is our issues. So I think we have to address it from us. You can't. I just don't see how you can get around that. Okay. There is some learned behavior that we're responsible for, without a doubt, okay? At the same time, we can address that behavior from a different level and tell ourselves that way is not working. Look what it has, where it has brought us to. So we have to establish a different attitude and a different view. I truly believe that we stand as black people. We do need to do that. Okay, we do need to know our history and our struggles. Okay, they say you got to know your past in order to move on to a better future. And what I think is we're lacking in remembering our past and remembering the struggles and sacrifices that were made for us in order for us to become productive members of society and to also to be treated equally. Okay, so, you know, I have to disagree to a point. I mean, you have some valid points, but I have to disagree to a point.
Okay, I'm going to let Brother Hess chime in here. Don't go nowhere, Brother Antonio. Brother Hess, you there? Brother Hess, can you hear me? Hello. Okay, his call, his phone dropped. Listen, I'm going to take a short break. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Material like Run DMC and Lee. 4 out of 5 every Jeep owner. because you dwelling in this style. Can't face the man of man, son, I see it in your eyes. Conceal it while I try, display it. When you relay it, it's just a lie. There was a lovely lady whose intent I thought I had on Rosa Parks. But her ex came to town and took back her heart. And she left me standing silly in the dark with a mic. Caught up in expression and learning lessons of depression. Sometimes it seems I can't connect with female beings. Till my little IMO whips me out in her dreams. And her facial gleams so sweet, but soon to switch to bitter. Cause when she reaches 16, she'll be considered a piece of meat. Not a treat for the trick, the sex and shower. People kick last days, we in the last hour. Minutes and seconds, I reckon it won't be long. To record it, ways of striving will be dead and gone. But this law's coming through, despite who try to see me. These brothers are too hard, sisters are too easy. Sleep.
Trying to please me with that sex appeal. When you're living out the ghetto, man, you got to deal. Brothers scatter from the function when they spot the steal. Weapons get concealed when it's plastic to kill. The dorm all up in the party because this rock is real. Niggas ain't stopping the things, so they ain't gonna stop the violence. Music too loud to hear some Dougie Fresh stay silent. Through the project, they terminate an X-Buck violence. I'd rather take it easy, keep it breeze like the island.
Revolutionize, we keep it complex, so don't offend. 9 times out of 10, men and women pretend. Immobilize, devil allies, fight for solidarity, the water tight. But everything in life has a price. Love, blackberry, molasses. So smart, so stupid, hard head, create soft asses.
No like molasses, that's how you move, and how we prove with that. Come with the full pack to keep it native. Like tongues, we run the licking for all your earth spitting. Can't write without that excite, but when you come down, your shit is unfound, you ground. Sound a week like Monday through Sunday, you figure one day, you'll play the roles of masterpiece to fill them seats. And I'm out like Reese. To get some niggas pieces.
You're listening to EIE, Save Our Children Blog Talk Radio. Tonight, we're talking about who's fueling the new Jim Crow machine. My name is Tony Nix. I'm your host, founder and president of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children. We were just listening to Brother Antonio and his view. I'm going to go back to Brother Hest and let him chime in on what he heard. We had lost him for a moment, but I see that he's back. Brother Hest, are you there?
Yes, sir.
So basically,
You know, I wanted to comment on what Brother Tonio had said, because he did hit on a couple of viewpoints that I do agree with. And, you know, one thing that we do must understand is that when we scream the white man, you know, they're just capitalizing, a certain area of them are just capitalizing on the unwillingness of our people to utilize our freedom that we have now today to lay a foundation of integrity and unity. You know, what I'm saying is, you know, like what you just said, Mr. Nix, is that we got to stop the excuses. Stop blaming the white man for this and the white man for that, because if we break this down, then we get a clear understanding that the white man consists of different orders. You know, just like you have the governmental order who are asking us, okay, how can we help you? How can we help you? You know, they don't know how to help us. They really don't know. And they really are asking for how do you help. But, you know, I've heard the Native American community come on the shows, and I've heard the black community come on the show, and I've heard the white community come on the shows, and they say, well, when we have these community functions, when we have these prison functions, when we have these different opportunities for people to step up, no one from the lower class poverty system is stepping up. Nobody's coming to these meetings, speaking out and addressing these issues. And so that's something that I really wanted to speak about, because, you know, the government can only do what we place before them as our grievances for them to actually to basically come up with solutions for. You know, if they see that we have a disease and an illness, then they have a job to find out how to treat that illness. You know, that's how Alcoholics Anonymous became so large. You know, they seen that there was a disease, and someone like Bill Wilson, and Dr. Bob came up with a way to be able to show exactly what that disease was and the ways that you can walk out of it. You know, what I'm seeing is that, you know, you have different orders in the higher echelons. Not only do you have the governmental order, but you have the spiritual order, which is the church and the religious order. You understand? And these people have their own banner. You know, it's totally different from the government. And they have old money. You know, they have old ways. They have old traditions. And so, you know, we don't really know how to walk into those churches and gain access to what they have accessible to us because we don't know how to speak that language. You know, the government is coded, just like the law is coded. You understand? And what I'm seeing with the government is that, you know, they don't know how to decode the hood. You understand me? They don't know how to come into these penitentiaries, you know, that we are in and actually find out what is really required in order to walk you brothers up out of this sickness that you're in. So while you're in this sickness, we're going to capitalize off of this moment. You know, we have the media order, and the media order is only to get people to continue to look at TV, look at their phones, get on the computer. We want to warp your mind with this right here, what we have to offer. Why? Because we're in this for the money. We're in this for the money. We're in this for the money. And then you have the capitalist order, which is beside the media. They work with the media, and their whole thing is, hey, buy our products. You have a need for this. You have a need for that. We talk about medicines. We talk about, you know, all the different factions of electronics, of, you know, how to make things more easier in life. You know, this is what we have to start breaking down, and what I'm seeing inside of our black communities, for real, is a breakdown in communication, my brothers. You understand me? It seems like everybody up on a different banner. You understand? We got the Christians, we got the Baptists and the Protestant, and we got the Episcopals, and we got the, you know, this and the that. Then we have the Muslims over there. Well, we are not going to work with the Muslims because they're down with the Al-Qaeda stuff and all of the blow-up systems. You know, come on, man. We have solutions that need to be brought to the table, people. And then you have our lower poverty banners. They aren't religious. They're street orders. That's what we know. We got the GDs, the Bloods, the Crips. You understand me? The Vice Lord, the Moles. You dig? These are the things that people have to realize that you have to decode these terminologies so that you can get access into these doors to find out what the business is. But nobody can come into the other person's door unless they're allowed in. Somebody got to pull down the banner and say, forget these banners. Let's get to the solution, Jack. You know, why am I sitting here so long with all of these excuses and these reasons for turning away from each other? Because they say antisocial. You understand me? They're coming up with these different patterns of different mental health illnesses. Even the mental health field is coded. And we don't even know how to get in and break that. You know, so,
hold on a sec, Brother Hess. Hold on a sec.
Yes, sir.
I want to ask you this. Brother Antonio said, okay, and he did correct himself. He spoke about the selling out of our own. Clergy, politicians. Do you agree with that?
This is what I agree to. I agree that there are certain people that don't have integrity. You understand me? That are motivated by money, that are motivated by power issues. They are power struck. We all have individual leanings on what it is that we're driven to do from a childhood. And sometimes that's corrupted by different people, places, things, and situations that we're placed amongst. It's just like the brother said, you know, growing up, you know, we're made to feel like we're punks or we're sissies if we choose not to have sex. You know, that's something that I had to grow up with an understanding of. At the age of 16, I realized that I didn't want to be in the streets with different gang factions. And I was ready to go into the military. But one day after I got off of work for my plumbing job at the age of 16, working 39 hours a week, just trying to wait until I could get my GED and get into the Army or the military so I can go get me some education, you know, from this low-poverty neighborhood, from these different organizations and gangs that are corrupt in my neighborhood and bring help back in. You know, I was with a couple of brothers who beat a man, and then I ended up becoming incarcerated with them because my family put me in there because they were scared for my life. And that led to me being sentenced to over an 8-year prison, be it from the age of 16 to where when I came out at 25, I was pure hate filled for being incarcerated for something that I didn't do. And the judge knew I didn't do it. But here in Georgia, we have these privatized systems. You know, Corrections Corporation of America and this other corporation and this other one. We got like 4 different private prisons here in Georgia, and we don't get paid anything. And it's like I'm stuck in this system from the age of 16, and I grew up in poverty. My family, no, my father wasn't there. My mother was smoking crack, so I had no support. So I'm growing up in a system where they don't even allow us to make one penny for working that we do. So we have to steal out the kitchen, or we have to try to, you know, go to base means in order to be able to acquire a few soups. We only get fed 3 meals on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, those 3 days, brother, we have to bend for ourselves. We have to depend on other people's family, which usually consists of the white man's family. You know, it's a great, man, I'm telling you, big brother, it's a system here designed, man, but it's designed for a reason, and the only way that they're going to be able to change something is if we open up our minds and open up our hearts to one another and stop utilizing these banners, man. But that's what I agree to and what I disagree to.
Okay, well, hold on a second. Hold on. I have a lady on the line. She's been patient. I definitely want to get her view on this. So stand by, Brother Hess. Don't go anywhere. Sister Nicole, are you there? Good evening.
Yes, sir. How are you? I'm so sorry.
Great.
It's just that sometimes in order for us to educate each other and see a different perspective and the truth, we have to sometimes intervene and stop people. And the most important part here is that we must not forget what we fought for. And we were not allowed in such prestigious positions such as senator, council member, secretary, or whatever have you, of positions that would allow us to be able to put those people that are not in a political realm in a position of change and power. And when you have those that are elected into those inside the problem to be the solution and they become the problem, then we have a serious problem. We have the results of today. Now, are we going to blame the white man for everything? No. Can we blame them for the start? Yes. However, we cannot continuously blame them when we have our own sitting in a chair of power to allow us to change and uplift ourselves and to be able to create and build as a culture and a nation of people when they have their foot in the boot and they are oppressing us themselves. I can understand everybody's trials and tribulations, but as a nation of people, we have forgotten who we are. In this land of America, the land of opportunity, where we are all immigrants, we forgot how this land became what it is today. And it's the opportunity because of the backs of the black man and woman. We forgot about that. And living proof is voting for Obama because he's black. That's living proof of where our mentalities are. Now, as far as us being subjected to the government, as far as drugs and such things like that, we know where all of that is funneled through, and that's through the government. The drug crisis, the crack epidemic in the 80s, the heroin epidemic in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. But we allowed ourselves to be victims of what the government has fed to our people and culture. The same way we have allowed ourselves to be victims to come over here and act like we weren't slaves when we were, and to work for freedom that we should not have been working for. I won't go on to further say those in our culture and in rural neighborhoods that encompasses mostly African Americans on the lower playing field of the economy, we don't own anything. And we don't like to pull our people up. We have the crab and slave mentality. We will slave for the white man and hold our people down so we can be and look better than them, so we can only look back and not reach back and pull our brothers. We would like to look down and not across.
Mm.
Okay, we don't want to seem equal to one another. So we are to blame from the very beginning. See, if one knows their history, they know when we were sold from Africa, we were sold by the chiefs of our own people. We were polished in oil to make look well and healthy. We were not taken by force. It was because those that we were sold to and where we were being delivered to did not live on the same land that we were sold to. So the treatment of who we were being sold to did not come from the original buyer. So we were rebellious. See, we have to know our history of who we are and what we subjected ourselves to understand why we are subjecting ourselves to the same old government machinery that we have been doing for years. This is nothing new.
Well, sis, let me, well, you know, wow, you said a lot there, and I have to agree with you pretty much 100%. When do we break the cycle? Because due to us not breaking the cycle, we're fueling the new Jim Crow machine.
Absolutely. First of all, we are the creator. Let's talk about that. They're no longer the creator of our oppression and no longer the creator of our lack of mobility in our communities. We have to break that by the renewal of the mind. Okay? We have to break that by understanding love. We have to reintroduce ourselves. What is the culture? This is what I've been arguing with a fellow, not arguing but debating, because I call it debate, because as we share intellects, we kind of learn from each other. And I challenged one of my brothers in my organization, and I said, you know, there's nothing wrong with holding on from the roots of Africa. But when we were sold into slavery and we came over to these new worlds, and I asked him, did anybody from Africa come save us? Okay, that's the first question. Hold on. Second question is, what is the culture of the black man in America? You are a black American. What is your culture? Mm-hmm. Deep, right? Because I can't go back to Africa and say that's where I'm going to live. You know why? Because I know nothing about Africa. Culture has all to do with communication, language, land, rituals, practices. What do we know as a black American? Everyone that fought for the freedom that we are at today, the somewhat freedom, has came from a black American that understood by their foresight that this is not how man is supposed to be treated. Not any man, not just a black man, not any man. So when I say we need to reintroduce ourselves, we need to find out who we are as black Americans. This is our land. They couldn't stop us from holding prestigious positions because this is our land. We built it. Okay.
Well, hold on. Okay. I mean, you're making some valid points. Yeah, you know, this country was built on our backs. Okay, we have an African American family sitting in the house that they say we would never occupy. So, you know, as far as you're saying this is our land, this belongs to the Native American. Okay, this is their land, but I truly believe this is our time. Okay, due to the fact that we got an African-American family occupying 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, okay, still we have not seemed to caught on to this, okay? We're doing the same old, and we're getting the same old results, okay? Now you got the new Jim Crow machine in effect, and it's being fueled by our troubled youth and young adults,
absolutely.
All right? And are we just sitting back and allowing it to happen? Do we care enough? Do we think we are powerless? Does our hopeless mindset play a part in this? I mean, really, what is going on?
The disconnect of who we are. We are the fuel to the new Jim Crow, okay? When you are not a part of the system, when you stop being a part of something that nurtures your people and bring upon prosperity, you are the creator, period. They watch us. They analyze us. The only way they could implement anything by allowing us to implement it ourselves. See, what they did was they gave us a false sense of victory. See, when they said, oh, okay, you can, the Brown versus education, you can go to school with whites, why is it so important that we need to be in their presence? Instead of fighting for the equality of education, we have not received that. Now, we are capable of going to schools as white people, but do you see a lot of us in there? No. Because of the sense of economical depression and oppression. You don't get the same wages, so how can you afford to go to the same schools? So you might as well tell us we can't go to school with our counterparts. They give us the new green of the teachers that need to get the experience in order to go to the schools of prestigiousness so they can educate those children without understanding the diversity and dynamics of our culture and our children and what we face economically, the barriers and the challenges.
Okay,
because
well,
we feel... Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. Get finish up, because I want to get Brother Antonio back in, because I know he got something to say about this.
I'm quite sure. So the one thing we need to do is, and I'll give a perfect example, Harlem. Harlem was a demonstration of blacks in unity and in coming up in power, right?
Yes.
What did they do with Harlem?
They took Harlem back because we didn't own anything.
Okay. What happened
was
we sold out. What they did was some of us, like Brother Antonio said, that's his name, correct? I don't want to get anybody
right, right,
anymore.
Yeah.
We're money driven. And those that were trying to, because we were so caught up in wanting to be and feel like we were on the same level, some of us sold, okay? Some of us buying and living above our means couldn't maintain our homes. See, the bubble just didn't happen. The bubble happened to them in 08. The bubbles always happened to us. It just affected them in 08. That's why it was a big deal.
Okay, let me get Brother Antonio back in on this. But before I do, if you're listening, the calling number is 424-258-9271. Press 1. I know you're in the queue, and I'll bring you in on tonight's discussion. We're talking about who's fueling the new Jim Crow machine. Brother Antonio, I know you got something to say.
Yeah, but I would keep it real short because I know we're short on time.
We have time. Just keep it short anyway, but we have time.
That was cute.
But the one thing I would say is I hate the word sellout. And the reason why I hate the word sellout is because I am considered a sellout, you know, not because of the fact that, you know, I love not just African-Americans, but I love all Americans. You know, I don't think I'm a sellout because of that. Cause I just think that's God. I think that's Jesus. I think that's just being a Christian. You know, you love everyone. But I think I'm a sellout because of the fact that I'm not on the street corner no more. So, but I'm not a sellout in a sense because I'm trying to, you know, make a difference for everyone to try to get other people off the street. You know, but because of the fact that I'm not out there no more and I don't agree with that lifestyle anymore, then in essence I'll be considered a sellout because that's where we really get the term, one of the places where we get the term from. So, and that's the reason why I don't like it because I don't want to consider myself as a sellout. The other point that I want to make is, you know, Brother Hess, he talked about the code. And it is a code because, like anyone that's a publicist, a PR person, who understand public relations, understand, number one, the type of society we live in, we are driven, money-driven in a capitalistic society. It's not a bad thing. It's a bad thing if you don't understand it and you become the cash cow. I mean, where you're being exploited. That's when it's a bad thing. But it's about understanding how the whole system works. So, number one, and he also mentioned something about the media, and the media want money. Then on top of that, you got code, and then, of course, capitalistic system. It's like this here. In order for us to move forward, because for the past 2 years, I've been on a lot of blog talks, you know, trying to work with a lot of different groups, but it's like we're saying the same stuff that we've been saying since I was in college, at a historically black university. It's the same stuff. It's like nothing is moving forward on the national stage because you're going to need something on the national stage. But the biggest problem is we don't have a PR plan. We don't even literally have a plan to strategic. We don't understand the code. There are hidden codes in these things. And I'm telling you, using them, they, and us is not the code because that's the code to keep us in that same mentality where we're trapped. Because if it's almost like if it's me against them or me against the world, or when it comes to them, they and us, it's like we would mentally, we're automatically defeated. We can be as articulate, we can be as smart as we want, but we're still defeated because when you look at number one, well, we, quote unquote, we are in the minority, and they, quote unquote, are in the majority. So it's like, and then plus when you look at it from a historical perspective, with that type of mentality, oh my gosh, it sucks. I can't be nothing in America but a rapper, you know?
Well, hold on,
So, I mean, because what the finish up the point that I'm making is just,
yeah,
I'm just
please.
Saying that that's one thing in the mindset, because I'm just going by my mind and how I used to think and how my homies used to think back in the days and how I had to change that thought process and started to understand who them is, who they is, who us. In reality, we're all American. The problem is we got to be divided. It's like the media capitalized off of division. You know, when I talk about the black establishment,
Antonio, you're going on and on. I got other callers. Okay,
yeah,
you got to get to your point because I got some people on hold.
Yeah, but that's really the point. It's about division and it's codes. Like what Brother Head said, the code is how do we at the bottom level, being probably the most oppressed minority in America, how do we talk the right codes to get the national support to move something forward? And we have to look at unifying, not just unifying, you know, the different banners with inside these communities. I'm talking about across a country, across America, poor people in general across the country. We have to start talking. We got to start thinking collectively as an entire country, because I'm telling you, if we then start doing the research, coming with data and stuff like that, then going to the media, then start to connect, congressmen, senators on both sides of the aisle are going to start pouring money into the initiative to stop this stuff. But as long as we continue to think them, they, and us, we're done.
All right, hold that. I want to bring this sister in. Good evening, Queen. How are you?
Oh, good evening, and thank you all for having such a very conscious conversation. I am so honored and pleased to be on your show today. I heard just a little bit about that brother speaking about our socioeconomic differences, but I will speak a little more as I continue to listen. I am smiling from ear to ear, and thank you for having me on your show.
Well, thank you for calling in. You know, as you know, our topic tonight is who's fueling the new Jim Crow machine. So welcome to EIE, Save Our Children Blog Talk Radio. So what's your view?
Okay, go ahead.
No, I'm asking you, so what's your view? I mean, you had some comments.
Well, my view is since we had Miss Michelle Alexander come through Minnesota several times and talk about her book, The New Jim Crow, I think that African Americans are fueling this mass incarceration right now, and Hispanics. We are at alarming record rates of incarceration, and I think that most of that is due to us not being conscious about community organizing and about how to partner with other organizations within within our cities and within our states, and not having those conversations with our politicians and holding them accountable for those type of unseen hands that are moving that society and that systemic system that continues to incarcerate us. So I think that as a community organizer myself, I'm just speaking from that perspective. I don't know if you all have heard that Senator Mark Kirk, the federal senator out of Chicago, Illinois, has just made a bell-ringing alarm that he is going to aid the federal government in pushing 1,800 federal indictments against a specific group of people. I'm concerned about that. I'm concerned that those type of angry outbursts are pushing mass incarceration. I'm concerned that the Ku Klux Klan is still a part of the good old boys Republican Party, and how ATLIC is playing a part in that mass incarceration and privatization of prison. So, of course, I have some concerns that are racial, because we are part of the biggest unemployment gap based upon having a criminal history. We are part of the biggest mass incarceration in this country, where we hold over 80-something percent of incarceration. So definitely I am concerned with this topic, and it is a great topic, and I hope to come back and say more about it. So I yield the floor at this time.
Well, thank you for your view. You know, you said the Republican Party and the Ku Klux Klan. Well, quiet is kept, part of the Democratic Party also. Okay.
True.
I'm not real naive about it. Okay. Just the Democratic Party to me is the less of the two evils. That's the way I see it. You know, that's my
true
view. Still, true. Your comments for me was right on point. You know, you talked about the unemployment rate and the 80% of who's being locked up and who's not. And those are, you know, the main fuels for the new Jim Crow machine. And we're sitting back and unaware that they're using our young to make this happen. Okay? There is no plan to save our children. Okay? To turn them around, to educate them. No. That is not the plan. We're going to use them to make money, we're going to profit, okay? And there's no stopping it. The only people that can stop it is us. And when do we say enough is enough and make a stand and say, no, you will not use our children, okay? We're not doing that. We're going along to get along. In the meantime, we're suffering, and that's all our fault. There's learned helplessness, there's internalized depression. See, I've heard all of that, you know, Willie Lynch. But today we have the awareness to make a change for ourselves if we want to. Okay? They're going to be sellouts. I don't care. There's going to be sellouts. But those that don't sell out, okay, are willing to step up on the front lines and make it happen. But we got to get rid of this division amongst ourselves. It's just too much of that. We got to get on one agenda, and that agenda should be what's good for us. The bottom line, what's good for us? Okay, we talk about, you know, the education. Okay, the education system is not designed for us. It's not going to be designed for us because this country is run by Europeans, so they have a European system. We need to know that system to function in this country. I don't care what anybody says. Anything else that we need to know, we need to teach ourselves. But we still need to know the European system in order to function in this country. I'm just not in denial about that. Maybe others are, but I'm not. You know, in the meantime, look what's happening. Mass incarceration. You talked about Michelle Alexander's book, a very good book. I saw her speech she gave. It's on YouTube. If anybody wants to see it, it's on YouTube. And, wow, it is very enlightening. Very enlightening and very truthful. And when she gives you her whole aspect of how she viewed it from the very beginning, she was in big denial. It took her a minute before she realized, hey, wait a minute. This is real. What's going on is real. This is not fantasy. This is real. It's right in front of my face. I've been in denial. Our youth and young adults, society has given up on them. Some of our own has given up on them. Those, I guess, are the sellouts you talk about, okay?
the music industry helps fuel their mindsets with a lot of fantasy, because that's all it is, a lot of fantasy, you know. So the music industry, the heads of the music industry use these young rappers to corrupt the minds of our troubled youth and young adults. And I've heard the arguments, well, you know, it's not up to the rappers to raise them. Well, you're feeding this to youth and young adults who don't really have no family structure. They don't have the mom and dad. Some may just have the mom, or some may just have the dad, and they may not be real structured parents. So what do you think these kids are going to do? Who do you think they're going to listen to? Okay, they want the money, they want the dream, but they don't really know that that dream is a nightmare that's going to send them to the penitentiary or to the graveyard. You know, how do we change this? You know, I got some solutions. I got solutions like boycotting. You know, we have a leader, Reverend Al Sharpton. Now, I got to tell you, you know, I'm a big fan of his. Because every time Reverend Al Sharpton says something like boycotting, others say no. But then we talk about how, you know, Brother Al Sharpton is not doing this and not doing that. He has some stuff that we can do that nobody wants to seem to act on. Why? Because it goes against the grain? You know, there's a division again. Boycotting worked in the past. That's what Dr. King used. And they made progress. But see, back then it was a different commitment. You know, and we need to steal a page from that. You know, commitment, sacrifice, unity by any means necessary. It's time to use that. Stop stepping out on fear of, oh, I'm going to lose what I have. Or, you know, I'm going to be looked at like this. Listen. Those that do what they need to do for their people in this country, do you think they worried about who's saying what? They thinking about the betterment of their people. Jews do it. Asians do it. We are the only ones that keep coming up with excuses. And I'm sorry, that is tired. I'm really tired of the excuses. And it is time to change our mindsets, all right, for real. Our mindsets are terrible. Terrible. We're angry at each other. We're not loving one another. Angry black men, angry black women produce angry black youth and young adults. It's right in front of our faces. What? Pay attention. I'm going to go to Brother Hest, Brother Antonio, Sister Nicole, and Sister Queen. I'm going to get your final comments, and then I'm going to close the show for the evening. Brother Hess, please be brief, but give us your final comments.
My final comment, Mr. Nixon, I want to just thank everybody for coming up with such beautiful views tonight. You know, my final comment is just what you said. You know, let's go back to the beginning. Let's go back to the solution. You know, we know that Mr. King got a lot of his conceptions from the brother Mr. Gandhi. You know, we know that from King that whole era began to stop. But the people that picked up his methods were Cesar Chavez and the brothers from a Hispanic background, and they found a way to embrace their culture, and they began to start doing just what you said, sir: sacrifice, disciplining themselves, and forming demonstrations to allow the people to know where their illnesses lie, and then address those illnesses in the correct manner in order to be able to gain these allies from who they called, or who we call, the enemies. Because there are people within those groups who are willing to be compassionate if they understand our pain. Thank you so much, sir, for having us on tonight. And I love my sister, Queen Nucci.
Thank you, Brother Hess. Please come back and join us again. Please tell everyone who you are and about a brief, give a brief description of the POPS movement.
Yes, sir. I'm Brother Hest Aiden. You can find me on Facebook up under Hest, H-E-S-T. First, last name is A-D-E-N. And basically, the POPS movement is a six-step program to teach pro-social ways to inmates, inner city youth, as well as school children, and now we are starting to begin to go into different gang factions and organizations within the inner cities. And basically, it's just a program where we start out in step one. We're asking people to form a bond with someone that they don't normally function with, associate with, or go around, someone of a different culture, race, or method of living. And so we're just asking them to begin to go out of their comfort zones and then reach out into the society about them and begin to form bonds that are based on ways that they can help these people's life instead of looking for selfish ways to be able to meet their own needs. Thank you so much. And we always stay available at the Pops Movement page. We do have a group page, and we're also located through Awareness to Conscious Minds with Sister Malika Chemist. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Go to Sister Nicole, get her final comments.
I'm
sorry. Go ahead. No, I didn't know your mic was open. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm just glad we all come together and talk. You know, like minds is what fuels the movement. Like you were saying, no sacrifice. No, we don't want to sacrifice. We don't really want to get along. We want to be a part, I feel, as a culture. I run In the Loop Organization Incorporated, located in District 12 in the Bronx. My organization is about self-advocacy and assembling strong people through civic engagement, accountability, and responsibility. We encourage proactive approaches as a collective movement to change political issues adversely affecting our communities and improve social, cultures, and economic conditions. I just want to end it with saying that, you know, we have to be aware of self. We have to be aware of our civic responsibilities and accountabilities. We have to know our government machinery and what level of the government severely impacts us so we can change. And I believe we don't need to have sellouts in the problem. If we're going to have elected or appointed officials within the government, they need to stand where their power lies so we can be able to come together and change our situation. This is a dual government, and it's not one-sided, as you can see. And that's the end of my that's my closing remark, and I thank everyone.
Thank you, Sister Nicole. Please come back and join us real soon. I'll be on the air again next Sunday. I may have a show midweek, but I will contact you and let you know. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Sister Queen, you're up next. Final comment.
Once again, I thank you so very much for allowing me on your show. I am the executive director of One Family, One Community. However, I partner with Neighborhoods Organizing for Change, Minnesota for a Fair Economy, Occupy Homes Minnesota, SEIU Local 26, CTOOL, and several other organizations, Take Action and Justice for All, part of that campaign of closing the racial job gap. We already know the business that if we do not organize in our own communities and stand up for our own issues, we will definitely be cut out of everything that we've possibly had to make any kind of changes of. So one of the things I often say is that if you're not at the table, you're definitely on the menu. So one way to kind of try to do that is to organizing and taking up some training how to do some community organizing and engage with others, branch out and partner with other powerful organizations. That's the key to that. I just did a bunch of rallies and protests, and we made significant headway. But we do absolutely nothing if we fight by ourselves. So we need to learn how to partner and do a lot of community organizing, and I will yield the floor on that.
Thank you, Sister. And please come back and join us. It was a pleasure having you. Thank you. Thanks again. Brother Antonio, you're the last but not least. Make it brief, brother. Final statement.
Yeah. All right, well, it's going to be brief. Basically, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over, using the same approach and expecting different results. And I just say that that's what we're doing. We're using the same approach, expecting a different result, and that's insane. Also, we can never create, Einstein once said, that we can never solve the problems with the same type of mentality that actually created them in the first place. You know, I don't have a organization that I belong to or anything like that. I'm just someone who do research and literally dedicated my life for the past almost 20 years of understanding the phenomena before I actually came out and started talking. And it's like I'm confident in what I've come up with. I do plan on publishing a book pretty soon, and it's going to break it down from every perspective. You can actually be able to understand it mathematically with just empirical facts. It's not an opinion. It's going to be facts. And the whole goal is so it can be a blueprint so when those folks do get out there and organize, they literally have a guide to go by to solve the problem. Good night.
Thank you, Brother Antonio, and get busy on that book. If you got the blueprint, we need it ASAP. But thanks again. Please join us again real soon. You've been listening to EIE, Save Our Children Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Tony Nix. Tonight we were talking about who's fueling the new Jim Crow machine. Obviously, it's us, African Americans, our troubled youth and young adults. Time for change. What are we going to do? Gun violence is the plague in every inner city community across the nation. Our government is only addressing the symptom, which is the gun. They're not addressing the problem, which is the mindset. It is time to change that. Okay? No one told you today God loves you, and so do I. And also, the sooner we change our conditions in our community and make safe passage for everyone, there will be no violence and we will know peace. As KNOW, deuces. Have a blessed evening. Talk to you real soon.
Together, I feel some kind of protection that's all around me.